What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the scorecard, the boxing scorecard, where I ask people to bring your scorecard and an explanation, not just simply your opinion. This past weekend, we had a big match at the 140-pound division between King Ryan Garcia and Devin the Dream Haney. The winner, to most people's surprise, was Ryan Garcia. Official scorecard was one judge had it 114-110. Another judge had it 115-109. And another judge had it the way that I had it, a draw, 112-112. And some people had it 113-111 from the fans' scorecard. Haney was dropped three times in this match in the 7th round, 10th, and the 11th. And Garcia got a point taken away in the 7th round. We're going to get into the details, of course, of each round. But before we get into that, one of the reasons why most people did not have Garcia winning this match, he was actually an 8-1 underdog coming in. But it's not because of the skill level. It's because of the antics and his showing of mental instability leading up to this fight. The crazy things that he was saying on social media. So it just wasn't a good look. He didn't look like he was in the right mind frame to have a championship fight at this level. So that was the main reason. So usually, specifically when odds are that wide from each other, 8-1, it's usually because the skill level is that much of a difference. Everyone mostly agreed that Devin Haney, at the time undisputed undisputed champ in his division, had better skills. It was definitely a different story. So let's get into it. Round one. Right off the bat, this was within the first minute, Garcia caught Devin Haney with his famous left hook. And we're going to get into details after on why Garcia's left hook kept on landing. Because everyone would say, you know, Garcia's only known for having one thing, and that's his left hook. So that's the only thing you need to prepare for. There's a few things that make Garcia's left hook special. We'll get into that in a second. So the first round, 10-9, obviously for Ryan Garcia, because he had Devin Haney visibly hurt in that first round within the first minute. Caught him with that left hook with speed and accuracy. And Haney couldn't recover. Well, he recovered. He survived the round and showed that he has a good chin. Second round, I gave that, the one thing that Devin Haney did show was having a good chin. People over-exaggerate or use the term too loosely, just saying someone doesn't have a chin or a glass jaw. If you know, much respect to Amir Khan, he had a great career, but as far as him getting knocked down, like he would get hurt, not just hurt, but knocked out. That's having a weak chin. But if you get knocked down and get up and keep fighting, that's not having a weak chin. That's actually having a strong chin. You don't have too many fights like that because that can only last too long. But yeah. So Devin Haney showed having a strong chin, not a weak chin. Second round, I actually gave it to Devin Haney, even though he clearly lost that first round. He boxed much better in that second round. Garcia didn't really do anything. Third round, clean and clear for Devin Haney with his punches. The third round is when Devin Haney actually hurt Ryan Garcia. He didn't go down, but he visibly hurt him, visibly shook him. He saw his leg shake a little bit, and Garcia definitely reacted. And he did it in a very hard way because they're both orthodox, so standing with the left foot forward, left hand leading forward a little bit. Garcia threw his jab. Haney slipped to the inside, which is more riskier because you can walk into a right hand. He slipped to the inside and landed a left hook that slightly shook Garcia. That was the only punch that visibly hurt Garcia in that fight. So that's what gave Haney that third round. The fourth round, again, I gave almost every round up until the seventh. The second half of the fight is when things start to look different. But the first six rounds, the first round was definitely for Garcia. But the next five rounds, going in, I'm speaking about the third round right now, My notes for the third round for Devin Haney was just simply a better boxer. Thank you for getting the pictures up. Tail of the tape there. Devin Haney was just a better boxer in that fourth round. My notes for Garcia in that fourth round was just not effectively backing up. He was boxing like Garcia was working, but he would only be working like the first 30 seconds of the round, and it was a show to his training, because in the post fight press conference, you know, he said he wasn't training seriously. He said he was drinking every day and doing other stuff, so that's why his gas tank wasn't the fullest. He would try to be busy in the first half of the round, and then try to steal it in the second half. You know, so sixth round, where are we at here? Round six. I didn't have any notes for round six, but I gave Haney round six. And Garcia, again, not enough activity in that sixth round, just moving around, but not really doing much. So after getting hurt in that first round, Haney recovered well. Garcia got hurt in that third round and wasn't really doing much up until the seventh. Now, this is where things start to get interesting. Actually, you know what? Go back to that left hook right there, the picture that you just had. This, one of the things that makes Garcia's left hook so special is that he could land it from different distances. Most hooks, like straight punches, are longer. Hooks and uppercuts, you got to be closer to the person to land. So most of the time, you have to take a chance for the person to get closer to you to land that hook. As you can see right here, this punch that Garcia is landing, it almost looks like he's throwing a jab, but it's even though it's just a picture, the reason why you could tell it's a hook is by looking at Haney's face. It's turned sideways. If that was a jab, his head would just be snapping backwards. But because Haney's face is turned sideways, that's because the punch was a hook. But look at Garcia's arm. His arm is almost extended. This is what I'm talking about. He can land the hook from short distance or long distance. And it's not even with good form. So when someone says, you know, all you have to worry about is his left hook, it's when you're practicing, even as a coach, if you're training your fighter to be cautious of the opponent's left hook, you're not gonna throw it with bad form, with your arm fully extended. Like, nobody throws hooks like this. That's why it's hard to prepare for it. We'll get into more details about Garcia's left hook after, but that was the main thing, is that he can throw it from different distances. So you might think you're out of the range. You go to throw a long 1-2, which you would think you'd be out of the range throwing a long 1-2, and Garcia just leans back and extends his arm and catches you with it. That was, you know, the main difference in Garcia's left hook. All right, we can go on with the rest of the picks now. Where were we at? Round seven is when Haney got dropped and was hurt badly. Like, he got up slowly. That was all heart right there. It wasn't just a flash knockdown. That was a serious knockdown. This is the picture that's going to haunt Haney for a while until he gets his get back, hopefully in a rematch or his next fight. However, what also happened in this seventh round, in one of the clinches, Garcia tried to throw a punch while they were in the clinch, and the referee took a point away, which I don't agree with. Like, usually, like, you give someone a strong warning. You don't just take a point right away just for doing a foul. It wasn't like something crazy. So I definitely disagree. But at the same time, you still have to score. If you're scoring the fight, which I encourage people to do, you have to score it the way what's happening. You can't just make up your own rules just because you feel like putting that in there. Like, I've heard a lot of people say, even though there was only three official knockdowns in the fight, some people are saying that the referee should have counted a few more knockdowns because of all the holding that Haney was doing and falling down. And the referee would just go like this to say it wasn't a knockdown, that he just slipped or fell. You can't just say, because it looked like it to you, that you count that round as a 10-8 because you said so. You got to count it what happened. Anyways, my whole point of saying all that was that round seven has to be scored as a 9-8 round. It would have been 10-8 for Garcia, but because you got a point taken away, you have to score it 9-8. Round eight, Round eight actually gave back to Haney. He actually boxed better in that round. Again, Garcia trying to be busy in that first half and then just coasted the second half of the round. So even though that seventh round looked really bad for Haney, he recovered well, showed heart and a strong chin to recover well and fight hard in that eighth round that I gave him that eighth round. Round nine and 10, though. Rounds eight, my specific notes for round eight was that Haney survived. That was a bad round eight. Very strong round. This was one of the rounds where, people say, and this right here, I'll pause it right here. This is one of the things that I was talking about. And get more detail about it after. Accuracy with your defense. See, whenever people talk about accuracy, most people talk about are speaking about offense, like landing punches with accuracy. When I speak about accuracy, I also add defense, being accurate with your hands up, not just in the general area. As you can see, Haney right here, he has his hand up. So he saw that left hook coming and he put his hand up, but it wasn't in the right area. It was just in the general area, not right along the jawline. And look how accurate Garcia's left hook is. Like, that could not be any more perfectly placed left hook than this picture that you see right here. And it's just a difference of inches. If Devin Haney's hand is literally 1.5 inches more in front of him, he could have blocked that. Just literally 1.5 inches, even if that. So, yeah, accuracy with your defense. That was round nine. Round 10, again, surviving round for Haney. Round 11. Another surviving round. And then round 12, you know what's funny? Even though Garcia coasted it in the last half of the round, look at this right here. Yeah. Even though Garcia coasted it in the last minute of the round, I still thought he won the 12. And that's how my scorecard came to 112-112. If it wasn't for that knockdown, if it wasn't for the point taken away from Garcia in that seventh round, I would have gave it to him. Again, here, this is another perfect example. Pause right here. So I'm talking about, man. Devin Haney is throwing a long, straight right hand. Garcia leaning back, throwing that left hook. He's not even looking at him. He's just blindly throwing it. And it's landing. Look out. Look where Haney's hand is landing. Look where Garcia's left hook is landing. Right again. That's what makes it special. There you have it with the scorecard. Got no comments coming in yet. This picture right here, this is one of the things. Do you think the social media games played by Garcia affected the outcome? I guess you could say so, because obviously he won, but I don't know. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to get into someone's head and see how much something is affecting them. Everyone thought that we can keep going through the picks, though, because I got a lot more to add to this. It's hard to say, man. It's hard to say, because you can't get in someone's head and see how much something is affecting them. We all can agree, though, that Garcia was acting very strange with his antics from one extreme to the other, from conspiracy theories to, yeah, just this crazy things that he was talking about. No one thought that he was mentally stable enough to handle something at this level. But I still think something's a little bit off with him, because even, little things like, he's, preaching all his Bible stuff, and then his next sentence, he's telling people that SSD, and yeah, it's just, I don't know. The messages that he's giving off are two completely different extremes. Anyways, specifically about Ryan Garcia's left hook. There's four main things that make Ryan Garcia's left hook very special. The first thing is the speed and accuracy of it. If we're both throwing at the same time, if you're just faster than me, then you're gonna land at the target faster than I am. Just because, especially if you're accurate, It's one thing to be fast, and next thing, that's an extra added advantage to be accurate with your speed. So that's one thing. So that's how he hurt Devin Haney in that first one, the first knockdown in the first round. Like, Garcia just stood right there and just whipped it. Haney had his hand up, but as I explained before, he had his hand up just a little bit further behind him and got clipped on the chin. The second thing that makes Garcia's left hook very special. Can you explain what a different the extra 3 pounds holds? Yes, I'll explain that in a second. The second thing that makes Garcia's left hook so special is that he can set it up differently. One of the main, most common ways to set up that left hook, he throws some not even good jabs. Like, sometimes he would just hold his arm out there or just kind of flick it out there, which causes the person, if you're orthodox, to use your right hand to kind of catch his jab. So he's flicking it out there like this. You're using your cross hand to block it. And one of the times he'll just fake it to get your hand here and then come right on the side with that left hook. That's how he landed the second one, or either the second or third one. Because again, Garcia came forward. Haney was prepared for it. He got his hand up like this. He got his hand up in front of him to catch the jab, and Garcia came right to the side with a left hook. So that's the second thing. He knows how to set it up in different ways. The third way, again, with his speed, he can disguise it within a combination. So again, if two people are throwing at the same time, if one person is just simply faster, obviously they have a better chance of landing more punches, especially if they're accurate with their speed. So if you want to trade Garcia, you might think you have more power than him, but if you guys try to exchange at the same time, the chances are he's going to land before you land, and then you're going to end up on your butt like Devin Haney is in this picture right here. And then the fourth thing, as I mentioned before, is that, and this is probably the one that gives him, Garcia, the best advantage with his left hook. So the speed and accuracy, setting it up with faking the jab first, using his speed to throw it within a combination. Then the fourth thing is being able to throw it at different distances. Again, straight punches, you're nice and long. Uppercuts and hooks, you're closer. Ideally, you're closer to the person. Garcia can land that hook from long distance. So you think you're at a safe distance throwing a 1-2 or a 1-1-2. He might take the end of your two and extend his arm to catch you with his left hook. And that's what makes Ryan Garcia's left hook so special. Now, should we go with the defensive adjustments first or the weight issue? You know what? Let's talk about the weight thing first, just to get that out of the way. I'll take a sip of my water first, because this is something very serious. All I'm asking is for people to keep the same energy. What I mean is, I'll explain about myself first. I kept the same energy when it comes to the weight, when it comes to the Tank versus Garcia fight. If you mention a Tank versus Garcia fight, what's the first thing people are going to say? If you give Tank credit, they're going to say, well, yeah, but look at the weight issue. Because he made Garcia come down to a little bit of a lower weight. Garcia contractually agreed to this, signed the contract, and then went on social media to complain about going down in weight. So that was my first. If you signed the contract, there's no issue. You knew what the thing was before. So you don't sign a contract. You don't look at someone, agree to all the terms, sign the contract, and then complain after when you signed the contract. So in the Tank versus Garcia fight, people give Garcia the excuse about the weight issues. So so I said, I kept the same energy this time. I said, for the first fight, I said, no, don't use the weight as an excuse when you signed the contract. So this time, when Ryan Garcia did not make the weight, like, he didn't even, the contract was for 140 pounds. This guy comes in at 143, drinking a beer at the weigh-in like he didn't even care. And so I said, Kinson, we got to keep the same energy. If Devin Haney is going to agree to this, because he could have easily said, no, you know, we're not going to fight unless you're that. Haney still went on. He agreed, and he had this fight. So there's no complaints. You gotta roll with it. So I kept the same energy. So I'm asking, so if you're one of those people that thinks that Garcia was disadvantaged in the tank fights because of weight issues, then you need to keep the same energy right now and make sure you mention the weight issues in this fight, the advantage that he gave himself. Now, here's what a lot of people are going to say. If you've fought before, not even fighter, because I know there's other sports that have weight cuts. I know, shout out to all the wrestlers out there that have to do strong weight cuts too. Shout out to my MMA family. They got to do a lot of weight cuts too. Any other sport that you got to do a weight cut, you understand how it is. So for people, I don't care what high level sport that you played, if you never had to cut weight, you don't understand the mental psychology, how hard it is, not just on your body, but on your mind to do that. So it was only 3 pounds, people are saying. Yeah, it was only 3 pounds. It doesn't make a difference. First of all, here's the first thing. If it was only 3 pounds, then how come Ryan Garcia couldn't do it? Not only did he refuse to do it, think about this. I don't care how much of a celebrity star you are. You were so strong on not cutting those 3 pounds that you were willing to pay $1.5 million. Yeah, not $1,500, not $150,000. $1.5 million, because it's supposed to be $500,000 per pound that you're overweight. There's other reports that say it was only $600,000, like total. So whatever. You're willing to pay between $600,000 and $1.5 million just so you don't have to lose 3 pounds. And you're trying to say that didn't make a difference. Here it is. It's not going into the fight that 3 pounds. What it is that you didn't have to hurt your body or drain yourself, as you, for lack of a better term, to make the weight, which you signed a contract to. So this is all the problem that I'm having with the people that are saying that the him coming in at 3 pounds overweight has no issue at all. That's the big problem that I have. Again, if you had a problem for the tank fight, then you better have a problem with these weight issues this time. Because Ryan Garcia not having to cut down to 140 made a world of a difference. Another thing, if you're going to say that these 2 to 3 pounds didn't make a difference, then what's the point of having weight classes? You might as well just tell all fighters, yeah, you know, just show up at this weight, around this weight. If you're 2 or 3 pounds off, it doesn't matter. Whatever. No, you can't do that, especially when there's millions of dollars on the line. Now, with that being said, let me rewind a little bit. At the amateur level, if you have a club show, like just a regular club show, just a couple of random fights, you actually can have, you're allowed 6 to 8 pounds difference in opponents for the seniors, not for the little kids, for the seniors. However, for major tournaments, like the national championships and especially international competition, you cannot be 0.1 over. They might allow 0.1, but you can't, no, actually probably not, like especially at international, maybe at nationals, you know, but international, you cannot even be 0.1 over. So that is the advantage that Ryan Garcia had. So just make sure you keep that same energy. Because I kept it. I said, for this fight, you can't complain about it, Devin Haney, because you agreed to it. You could have done something about it. You said no. You took the money and said, let's keep fighting. So you got to deal with it. So that my complaint is only about the people that are going to make excuses for the tank fight. But so there you have it. Next thing, defensive adjustments. For those of you that know me as a boxing coach, you know how much I emphasize defense. and I mentioned this already about accuracy with your defense, because everyone always talks about accuracy, about landing punches. You have to have, and this comes to when you're shadow boxing, even when you're hitting the bag, not just when you're sparring. People usually just work on their defense with live fire coming at them to work on that stuff. You have to have this mentality when you're shadow boxing, when you're hitting the bag, and for every other drill that you're doing in preparation for the fight. One thing I encourage all fighters and coaches to implement is having different looks of defense. What I mean is, we'll use Floyd as the best defensive fighter in a long time. Floyd's known for having the shoulder roll defense, or the Philly shell, as they call it. I just call it the Floyd defense. But Floyd, that's not the only defense that he does. Specifically when he gets, when he gets hurt, which is very rare. The very few times that he's been hurt in his career. Specifically when he got hurt against Shane Mosley. He had that shell, and what's the first thing he did was get his hands up and come forward, throwing single punches, but keeping that high guard and tight. What happens is, if you only have one form of defense, which most people just are just comfortable with keeping that lead hand behind them. Yeah, most people are just comfortable with keeping that lead hand behind the lead hand in front of them a little bit, and that secondary hand behind the chin. And that's the only look that they give. Even if they get hurt, they're going to give you that same look. If they're winning, they give you the same look. If they're losing, they give you the same look. You have to have, you know, when people have a plan A and plan B and plan C for their offense, if this doesn't work, I'm going to do this instead. If that doesn't work, I'm going to do this instead. You have to have a plan A, plan B, and plan C for your defense too. If that Philly shell is not working, then hands up has to work. If that's not working, then using your footwork to create lateral movement has to be the plan C. Right, so different faces of defense to give your opponent different looks is what I encourage all boxers and coaches to instill in their boxers too. The referee. Oh, sorry. What? One more thing about defense. Shout out to Timothy Bradley. One of the things that he brought up, and it's just a small mistake. There was a small mistake that really cost them big in catching those left hooks, was with your jab, and this is the drill that you can practice, throwing single punches, keeping the opposite hand up. But what a lot of people often do is when they throw their jab, the opposite hand will go out like this, like a bow and arrow. You know, when you have a bow and arrow and you pull it like this, boom. Same thing. Sometimes people will have their hands up, but when they go to throw their jab, they pull this opposite hand away like this in that extension, leaving this wide open. That's one of the mistakes that Haney does, and what made him get caught in those exchanges. So you got to clean that up, not just for him, but for anybody out there. Keep that right hand right by your chin. We got another comment. What was Garcia's plan with turning his back and giving his kidneys up for punishment? Yes, great question. This guy Garcia, and I'm glad he did not throw his coach under the bus. I'm going to talk about Derek James in a minute too, but because that Garcia's version of the shoulder roll of the Floyd defense is very poor. This guy literally just turns his back. He thinks he's being slick by putting his hand up, but all he's doing is turning his back. With that being said, sometimes you hear fighters or see fighters complain about getting hit in the back of the head. Sometimes it's your own fault. Obviously, getting punched in the back of the head is illegal. But if your defense is to turn, and you're getting hit in the back of your head, that's your own fault. And that's almost, he's lucky Haney wasn't doing that, because it would have been Garcia's fault for turning his back. And a lot of people were complaining about the referee not doing a good job. With the extra holding, like a lot of people feel that there should have been a few more knockdowns in that fight because of the extra holding that Haney was doing. But my complaint was the referee not warning Garcia about turning his back. Like, that could be, again, even if it's just by accident, you turn your back at the last second and get hit in the back of the head, you know, that's some serious brain damage that can happen, especially when you don't see it coming, to brace for it. Again, here, you see this left hook. Press pause right here again. This is what I'm talking about. Garcia throwing that. He set this one up by throwing the jab first. That's why Devin Haney's hand is in front of his face right now, because he was expecting to catch a jab. And then Garcia just flicked it and turned it into a hook. Yeah. One more thing about Derek James. I got to give a shout out to Derek James. People don't realize how stressful this coaching thing is either. Derek James, this guy, a couple of years ago, trainer of the year. And in the past couple of years, he's definitely earned it with the work that he's had to put in. A couple of tough losses. He's Earl Spence's coach in that tough loss versus Crawford. And he was Charlo's coach in that unanimous loss to Canelo. So this was a big thing this past weekend for Derek James and Ryan Garcia, especially coming into this fight. Just think about that as a coach, that pressure coming in. The past two big matches that you had, unfortunately, your guy came up short. And then going into this one, your guy is going into this fight as a 8-1 underdog. So shout out to Derek James for pulling this one out and giving great advice in between rounds to Ryan Garcia. I couldn't hear everything, but the little things that I was hearing was great advice. Garcia was following through. And, took advantage of his weight advantage. But, yeah, there you have it. The scorecard. Back has been a while, but we are back on the Talk and Fight YouTube channel. You can also catch me on Cedric Sports Training YouTube channel. If you haven't done it yet, make sure you like, share, subscribe, and tell a friend to tell a friend. We'll be back next week with another scorecard. All right, peace.